Good morning. Today is the third Sunday of Advent, and this Sunday we'll be celebrating joy. The first Sunday of Advent, we celebrated the virtue of hope. Last week, we celebrated the virtue of peace. This week is joy. The next week is love. And then there's Christmas Sunday, where we light the Christ candle. We're going to have a Christmas Eve service, and that's actually when we will light the Christ candle as well. But our passage is just two verses that I will be expounding on and telling you the story behind. It comes from Matthew chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. It says, "When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented him with gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh." So, as you know from hearing the Christmas story, that the three men were actually the men that presented these three gifts were the wise men. We assume they were three men because there's three gifts, but scholars say there's quite likely many more than three. And we know that these were men that had traveled a great distance, and they also were called, you know, the Magi. And we're told in actually verse 1 that these men had traveled from the east to Jerusalem. And when they got to Jerusalem, their question is, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." Magi were both scientists and astrologers. So it was a mixture of religion and cult and science. But they had gotten from their understanding prophecies, and they had looked into the stars and they saw in the stars where Jesus was to be born, where this king was to be born. And in verse 3 of chapter 2, Herod had heard about these men arriving to Jerusalem. And it says he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. The thing about Herod was he was a barbaric man. He was appointed by the Romans in 43 BC by decree to be the ruler of Jerusalem and the region of Judea. And he was actually by decree appointed king. He really wanted to be the king, seen as king by the Jews. And being an Edomite, which is a group of people that descended from Esau, he was familiar with the Jewish way, the Jewish customs. So he wanted to be accepted as king, and he also wanted to be impressive to the Romans. And he would do just about anything to maintain the image that he wanted to have. And he was very much a doer. Many ornate and very sophisticated things were built in the Jerusalem area, and you can see them to this day. Pretty amazing things. But if he thought for any reason you or anyone else was a threat to him, he would kill you. And he killed family members. And it was just really horrible when he was troubled, because when he was troubled, everybody was troubled. Isn't that how it can be sometimes when you're dealing with somebody who's so full of anger and a desire to protect their name and image, and there's no love? And that's what we're experiencing as we read this story. If we can understand what's going on, is Herod was a very powerful and horrible ruler. And so Herod gathered all the chief priests and scribes and demanded that they say where Christ was to be born. What's fascinating is the people he gathered, the chief priests and scribes, they knew. They knew the prophecy, Micah 5:2, that says where the Messiah was to be born. And Micah 5:2 says, "And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel." So these chief priests and scribes shared that prophecy with Herod. And the wise men were given this information as well. And Herod asked the wise men what time the star had appeared. You see, the star led them to Jerusalem all the way from where they came. And apparently at that point, it stopped. So they were told by the scribes the same information. And Herod conveyed to these wise men, to these magi, that they should go and search diligently for the child. And when they found him, they were asked by Herod to bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. And so when these magi had heard the king, they then departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them. So there it was again, till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. They were very happy that that star was there and that they could follow it to Bethlehem. And so they finally get to Bethlehem. And in verse 11, it says they came to the house. So it doesn't say they went to a stable where we know Jesus was born. So many people think that this could have been, more than a year later after Jesus was born. And it says that they came to the house and they saw the young child with Mary, and they fell down and worshiped him. See, they said earlier that's why they wanted to come, so they could worship him. Worship him. And they knew he was king. So here's these Gentile magi. They weren't kings. They were kept by kings. And we have a lot of confusing traditions about these men. And we think there are three men, and there's probably more. We think they're kings. We don't know where they came from other than they came from the east. But we do know that they were aware of prophecies and astronomy that said this king would be born. and that gave them a star that led them to where Jesus was. And they came to worship him, and they did worship him. And they had gifts. They had gold and frankincense and myrrh. And gold is symbolic of Jesus being king, because kings were given gold, the most precious metal known at that time. And they recognized him as priest by giving him frankincense. Frankincense was associated with priests who would burn this incense in the temple. And then finally, they gave him myrrh. Myrrh is an herb that is associated with death, with the body dying. And Jesus prophesied his death. He said, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will rise again." He was prophesying his death and resurrection. So we have Jesus being represented and declared to be king, to be priest, and to be prophet. Jesus was king, priest, and prophet. And then we're told, if you keep reading, that they were warned of God in a dream not to go back to Herod, and they departed. And you know the story of how then Joseph was warned to leave Bethlehem by an angel. And Herod, after he learned that these magi had decided not to follow through with what he'd asked them to do, was very angry. And he put out a decree that all the children, all the male children, I believe, it just says, I'd have to look, but I think it just says children, but the decree was that they would all be killed who were 2 years old and younger. And we know that that was a horrible, horrible thing. You know, Herod, interestingly, when he knew he was going to die soon, he rounded up 100 men who were highly esteemed and loved by the Jews, and he put them in prison. And he ordered that when he died, that these men would be killed at that moment, because he knew that no one would mourn his death. He knew he was hated, but he wanted Jerusalem to mourn at his death. If not for him, then for somebody else. But what happened was, when he died, these men were let go because he was no longer in power, no longer around. It's hard sometimes to understand why God allows certain people to be in power. It's hard to understand why this man was in power at the time Jesus was born. And at the same time, we see this providential hand of God directing these magi to where he was born and to be able to come to him and worship him. I think that one of the lessons I learned from this story is to have peace, to have hope, and to have joy in the midst of a world that does not have peace, does not have hope, and does not have joy. And we can have these virtues, and the virtue of love that we'll celebrate next week, because of John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That's the biggest gift that we could ever have. And the question is, as we celebrate Christmas once again, what gift can we give? I know people who celebrate Christmas as the birthday of Jesus, and they make a birthday cake. And if we were to do that, the question I have, if we were to keep with the tradition of a birthday party, what would we give Jesus as a gift? It's really true that it's free what he's given us. And it's amazing, this gift of grace and mercy and forgiveness. And I think it's clear from Scripture that the one thing that we can give back is ourselves in service to him, to build the kingdom of God. It says in Romans, the kingdom of God is not meat nor drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy. Righteousness, I've heard broken down as right choiceness. What are some choices that you can make this Christmas that are the right time for you to make, that you haven't yet made, and they are the right choices? They're the right choices for the right time. What are some choices that we can all make? How can we pick up our cross and follow him even more dearly? I like that song in the play Godspell called Day by Day. It says, to see thee more clearly, to love thee more dearly, and to follow thee more nearly. I think that song is a great prayer. Lord, help me to see you more clearly, to love you more dearly, and to follow you more nearly. God bless you.